Jupiter Broadcasting presents this program in stereo, where available. This episode brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show, we look into the future and tell you about the things that will matter before you care about them. Then we respond to your lashings with our weapons of common sense. Plus so much more. Oh, this week on the Linux Action Show. Ah. And welcome to Linux Action Show, Season 15, Episode 3. My name is Brian. With me, the guy, is Chris.
Hey there, the Brian.
Thanks. How you doing?
Thanks for joining the Chris on the episode of the Linux Action Show.
The guy is Chris.
Oh, okay.
I was just letting everyone know.
Check this awesome Runs Linux, Brian. It's
yeah,
the Nook
up?
Color. Now, that's not totally new, right? The Nook Color runs Linux. It's Android.
It's a whole heck of a lot of totally not new. Yeah.
It's neat, though, that it comes in like a $200-something, $280 e-reader, right?
Yeah.
Here's the fun part. It's been hacked recently to run Ubuntu.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a little ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It is so painfully slow.
Painfully. You know, honestly, though, it'll probably run better than it currently runs. If any of you guys have played with the Nook Color, it runs slow.
But, you know,
in its stock form, man, turning pages, yeah. You might as well be on e-ink. And yeah. It loads books slowly.
Yeah.
Scrolling through your books is slow. It has a nice screen on it, though.
And it runs, it's
a nice form factor.
It runs Android, and there's tutorials out there to root it yourself. And then you can put, like, the Amazon book reader on there.
Yeah.
You can put a couple other book readers
Kindle.
On your Kindle,
yeah.
The Kindle and all that different stuff on the Nook, which is kind of neat.
That's way cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of a fun Runs Linux. And,
what kind of battery life does that thing get?
I guess it's pretty comparable to the Kindle. Of course, who knows once you put it entirely different operating
system.
Dude,
it cannot be that comparable to the Kindle. The Kindle gets like 3 years of battery life.
Oh, I was thinking the Nook. Yeah, I don't know about the Nook Color. Yeah, that's got a full active screen.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe like 10 hours, something like that.
No way. I bet it's not even that much.
You think?
Yeah, I bet.
It's got to be for a book reader.
Well, Android has never been like the most awesome at battery management.
Well, it's Java. Can't run an entire Java virtual machine and have it be super great at battery usage.
It is hard.
It's
yeah.
Fine, yeah.
Now.
Anyway, but I think that's way cool. I want to see all sorts of weird crap put on there.
I know, totally. I love that kind of stuff.
You know what would be great, actually? Huh. If you could get like a version of KDE, like get Kubuntu on there with all the Plasma widgets. They handle really well for touchscreens.
That would look slick.
My little Lenovo tablet, great with KDE.
KDE
4 on that is just gorgeous. I constantly use that for like a day and then go back to GNOME because I'm just not that big of a KDE guy.
But
it's so cool.
If I could have the Nook Color, I mean, come on, we're talking $250, $280 like a little Linux tablet running Ubuntu. And if there's a way to get suspend like instant on, instant off.
Oh.
I could just see myself leaving Gedit on there and, if possible,
all the
Dropbox.
Time. Yeah.
And then just...
All the time.
That'd be epic.
We'll be so great.
Yeah, I know. So I would love to see
so
something
great.
Like that. And, you know, this kind of hacking is the first step to that kind of stuff.
Love
now,
it, man.
Speaking of sort of Android stuff, I've got an awesome pick, and this is going to be a well-deserved pick for those of you who have had iOS friends who use that Instagram service. It's like an iOS exclusive. You can only view the pictures on iOS devices.
I got to be honest. I didn't know what that was until about 12 minutes ago when you told me.
I know. It's getting big, though. Real big. Yeah, its growth trajectory is like way higher than Flickr's was when Flickr was new. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. But the Android users are getting left out in the cold.
But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at GoDaddy.com, the world's largest domain name host and registrar.
Yeah, buddy.
And people that have website builders. And then they have buttons that you can click on and you have the WordPress. Just there's a WordPress button, pretty
it's
much.
Kind of cool, yeah.
You just click it and you get the WordPress. You guys know what I'm talking about already because we've talked about GoDaddy before, it turns out.
Turns out GoDaddy's been with us for a very long time.
Look at the video right there. Right there, Danica Patrick says, you like GoDaddy.
Yeah.
It even has her signature on it. That means that she is legally binding. Right there, boom.
That's
legally
my face.
Binding. This is my face. I like GoDaddy.com.
Have you ever used the DNS GoDaddy manager?
No.
Check this out.
Never have.
So you and I ran into a problem where we had a server that was sending out email reports to users that had asked for the email reports.
Right.
And it was getting blocked by ISPs.
Pain in the butt.
Because it got marked as spam.
Yep.
Because it needed to have something called a reverse lookup record.
Right.
And they're not totally like common yet. I mean, they are. I don't know why all the different DNS managers don't just have support, like check a box. But GoDaddy does, essentially. You know what? I need this type of record to point back to my server.
You do a little clicky-clicky.
Dude, it's live in like 15 minutes. Boom, email's flowing again. No problem at all.
Awesome.
So you know what? It's just become standard that all my business stuff, all my personal stuff, everything goes for GoDaddy.
GoDaddy, great. Linux, L-I-N-U-X, all caps, 10%. Great.
Yeah.
Linux 2.0, 20%, just on the hosting. But come on, 20% off hosting. You should probably go and spend like $10,000 on hosting. That's like you just saved $20,000.
If you use our codes and you're doing something cool, email me, chris@jupiterbroadcasting.com. I heard from a guy who's running a Minecraft forum, and it's getting pretty popular. Use Linux 20. He's hosting on the GoDaddy server on a Linux.
Fantastic.
Box. Right?
Everybody loves that.
All right. Nobody
doesn't love that.
Why would you not love
it? Why would you not?
I want to share with you, Brian, my Android pick this week. It's called Pick Please. And this is sort of a competitor to that Instagram app that's on iOS that I mentioned just a little bit ago.
Uh-huh.
And this is nice because, well, one, it's got an Android client, but it also has an iPhone and I think other operating systems as well. And it's neat because it, as just like Instagram does, you can apply filters when you take a picture, add a quick caption, and then you post it. This one will also cross-post out to Facebook and Twitter and things like that. Where it definitely has a leg up on Instagram, aside from being available for Android, is that it also has an online web gallery. Unlike Instagram, where everything's locked into the application,
Yeah. You
can actually see what people have posted. And so I've been using it for a couple of weeks, and you can. I'm Chris Lis on PicPlease if you want to follow me there. And it's kind of neat because it's figured out who I like, and so you've got, you know, it's kind of Twitter for pictures in a way, only you can do it from your phone and it's not locked in like Instagram is.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And you can link it up to your like Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, so it automatically posts all those services. That's neat.
It's got location stuff if you want it. I turn that off generally. Every now and then I turn it off. But it's kind of neat to be able to go in and see other people's pictures around me. So I can kind of see the value in the location stuff because it's neat to see what other people in Washington State are posting.
Yeah, that's groovy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. That's
an uploader.
Pick PLZ, one word, pick, PICPLZ.
That's fantastic.
There you have it, Brian.
All right, so before we dive into the news, I just wanted to make a quick statement. So last week we did our big, well, hate on Google episode.
I guess it was that.
That's what a lot of people kind of called it. So we kind of harshed on Google a lot. And honestly, we also harshed on the Firefox devs a little bit.
A little, yeah.
And I got a lot of feedback. I actually got more feedback on our discussion of OpenGL and hardware acceleration in Firefox than I did with the Google stuff.
So we did get a surprising amount of Firefox
responses. I got a lot of feedback, both positive and negative, all sides. We want to talk about it just a little bit, briefly, but we'll do it at the end of the show. Just stick around for that.
Yeah, so those of you who
I don't
want to
bog down the show at the front, so we'll wait till the end, and then you can tune out if you don't want to hear anything ever again about Linux, 3D, Firefox web browsing, Google,
H.264,
or any of the other things that permeate our everyday lives and you should absolutely be interested in. So, but if you don't want to hear about that stuff and you'd prefer just to talk about Pick Please, then that's how... This is for you. This is for you because we're doing this.
All right, Brian.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Let's do the news.
All right. What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian. Our top story on the news docket.
Hey, Chris, you just talk for a while. I'm gonna sit here and drink my vitamin water.
Are you sure? Because I got this shot right here that I could just...
No, hold on. I'm going to sit here and drink my XXX vitamin water.
Yeah?
Man, this stuff sure is delicious, and I sure do want to support this every episode of the Linux Action Show. If only I had contact from the people at Glacier.
Can I just point out an observation that I've made? Hmm. In your years of attempting to plug different products on the air in hopes that we get sponsorship,
it's never worked.
Never worked.
Never worked.
Because you know what? They just say, why pay for the milk when they're getting it for free?
Well, you know what?
Why pay for the cow when
you
get the milk for free?
Here's the thing. This was just a taster company named Glacier.
That's all they needed.
Maybe you want to contact me so that I keep doing that sort of thing. I'm just saying, it might be a good idea.
Let's talk about XFCE 4.8, because that just hit this week, and it's kind of a cool release, dude. Because it's got a lot of feature improvements. They rewrote the panel from scratch to add transparency and stuff like that. They've extended, I think you pronounce it, Thunar, their file manager.
Yep.
And they've added a ton of stuff. Now, I'm going to put a little asterisk here on that comment, because that is also the source of some controversy here in a little bit that we're going to touch on. But they got support now for browsing Samba shares, and then, you know, you can provide your password, yep, and then it saves your password, and if you go back to that share, it doesn't immediately reprompt you for your password. Things like that. They've rewritten the dialogue boxes. Like, here's an example, if you're watching the video version, of their new copy dialogue box, which is kind of slick.
It looks
stacking.
Good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it.
Thunderbird is actually a really great file manager now. I mean, I almost recommend it just over Nautilus in general.
Ooh, I like Nautilus, though.
Yeah, it's just so slow sometimes.
Whatever. So, Nautilus is peppy.
Lots of new stuff, like the ability to...
Hey, Chris, you don't know.
I don't know.
Chris, you don't know.
I don't know.
Chris doesn't know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
lots
you.
Of new stuff, like the ability to set multi-monitor displays and resolution stuff from within XFCE setting. Also, which this is another source of controversy, is better support for PolicyKit. Now, here's what... We'll go down this path.
Why would that be controversial?
Well, so PolicyKit gives you things like the ability to execute certain applications at root level if you've been granted that through PolicyKit.
Right, right.
PolicyKit doesn't exist on BSDs. So, also a lot of other things like HAL and
so that's the controversy, is people running XFCE on, say, PCBSD would not have access. But that functionality just wouldn't be available.
Well, it's not just that, though. XFCE has also dropped support for HAL and has booted over to UDEV and GIO support.
Oh.
And so now things that would have used HAL in the past for like hardware recognition are gone in place of UDEV for hardware change notifications and things and GIO. And the problem is without those things on BSD, those features just simply don't exist now.
Oh, now that is actually kind of big.
Yeah. And so people are a little PO'd. And PolicyKit, the use of PolicyKit means that you don't have a mechanism to do a user elevated privileges for certain functions without using some other back-end mechanism that has to be put in place. So now it's up to either the BSD maintainers to replace these back-end technologies, I would suppose, or I don't know. And the XFCE project has a blog post on this if you go over to their site. And what they said is that it just simply comes down to the lack of support for BSD in the greater open-source community.
Yeah.
Because these other projects that we use as our underpinning technology that we are reliant on are not supporting BSD. Right. And because they are not supporting BSD and we write for them, we are at a loss of what to do here.
Well, I mean, realistically, I mean, BSD just doesn't get a lot of love anymore.
I don't know why, though, man. It's a good OS.
Well, BSD is great. I mean, FreeBSD is awesome. All of its derivatives are awesome. I mean, I love PCBSD. It's a great system.
Yeah.
But, I mean, realistically, I mean, it just doesn't have the traction that all the different Linux distros do. Even the smaller Linux distros, you know, the kind of the middle of the road guys, they really see a lot more traction than the BSD guys. And it's sad in a way, but...
Chat room agrees moving on from HAL to UDEV was just necessary because HAL has just become a zombie.
It's dead. Yeah, it's a dead project. Yeah. It has been for a while. And that's fine. It's just, you know, the BSD guys need to have, you know, the same basic replacement for HAL that the Linux guys are using so we can all standardize on it and build our userland tools on top of that and then not have to worry about it.
I agree. And
but we'll see if that actually happens.
It's interesting that you say that because I just read an interview with one of the Unity devs, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And he got interviewed by OMG Ubuntu. Great interview, really long. But that was exactly his point, is I just think he thinks there's just too many different standards people have an option for.
Yeah.
That none of them really let anything get to 100% complete documentation and complete finalized, you know, gold standard, because they're all being kind of diversively worked on.
They are.
And I think that some of the motivation behind Unity and now Ubuntu announcing they're going to include Qt by default.
Yep.
They're going to include GTK by default.
Yep.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting because I think there's a new direction there. I think it's a new direction to say, we're going Unity, we're supposedly going Wayland, we'll see, and we're going to totally just go with best of breed technology regardless of the desktop that we use.
It's kind of breaking away from the tried and true Linux and BSD world of userland tools.
Where it's, yeah, exactly.
And they're basically saying, okay, at least for Ubuntu is the OS. You know, it may be using the Linux kernel and we'll pick and choose from all the tools available.
Isn't that kind of what it eventually ends up? Exactly. It's exactly what it ends up as.
It's a whole different beast with binary compatibility to run applications that run on other OSs too.
But the difference here is, unlike a corporate entity like Apple when they develop iOS and then they have this they are their own means and technology and methods that you have to write for, like core animation and core video and things like that. The difference here is even if Ubuntu is making its own desktop in a sense built on top of the Linux kernel, we're talking down the road, this is a predictions episode after all, they're using it, they're doing so with these open standards that don't preclude you from writing for other desktops by using them.
Right.
Whereas the new platforms that we're seeing emerge are their own independent technology that you have to build specifically for.
Right.
So I think, you know, if that's what Ubuntu's doing, they're doing it the best way possible.
I mean, it's a lot like, you know, like say with Mego, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, making applications in Qt, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can still make those same Qt applications run on a dozen other platforms with little or no tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as people are using the same basic SDKs, I don't really see a problem with it.
Well, I'll save the rest of my thoughts for the prediction segment because it all kind of starts to go from there.
Which will be next.
That's right. Let's talk about this news bomb that came out of TechCrunch this last week. And that was that iOS users, 90% of iOS users are running the latest release of iOS.
Right.
And 0.2 or something around there of Android users are using latest OS. Well, they kind of fudged the numbers over there at TechCrunch a little bit. If you actually...
Wait. TechCrunch didn't report...
I know,
exactly accurate in technical information.
Astounding, right, Brian?
Oh, my goodness.
So here's what...
You mean the guys that totally screwed up the TechCrunch pad tablet thing that
the Juju
didn't really ship,
or
the Juju became, like, was it like 60 people bought it under the new Arrington's branded thing? Come on.
All right.
TechCrunch never gets anything right.
But check this out. The criteria that they used was iOS 4.x as the latest. So that could be 4.0, 4.01.
So that doesn't really count.
The criteria they used for Android was Android 2.3 specifically.
That's
which
cheating.
Which is the Nexus S only.
That's cheating.
If you actually go by the same 2 dot, if major number dot X that they went for iOS, then it's actually Android's in a surprisingly better position. It says right here, this comes from Droid Life. They ran these numbers. Now, these numbers, too, by the way, come from Android or Google makes these stats available to Android developers in real time live.
Right.
So these are actual devices in real time counted, not wherever TechCrunch got their number from, because Apple doesn't release that information directly.
Right.
So this comes directly from Google. So this is actually pretty good. So they say it was 90% of iOS devices, but in reality, if you combine by the same criteria of 2.x, it's actually Android users are 87.4%.
So it's statistically the same.
They're almost identically the same amount of market share on the latest OS if you go by the major version .x.
Right.
4.x and 2.x, 87% of Android users are on 2.x.
It's statistically the same.
Now, we both know, and you can break the numbers down further. So here's the actual number. 51% of Android users are on Android 2.2, Froyo. 35% are on 2.1. That's a pretty significant number because you're seeing a lot of applications come out now that require Android 2.2. Like, for whatever reason, the new Nook reader, I think, requires 2.2.
Right.
So the fact that 35% of the user base is on 2.1 is unfortunate. There's also 8% on 1.6 and 5% on 1.5. Those are almost, you know, probably like feature phones, zombie phones now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are still running, you know, their old like T-Mobile G1s and whatnot, which I think they're stuck on 1.6, I think is the latest they can really go.
But it's a pretty significant obfuscation of the truth by TechCrunch.
Well, come on, man. It's TechCrunch.
It's just so many mainstream tech journalism outlets do that with Apple stuff. You know, that was the reason we started the Computer Action Show. And everybody said, hey, there's already Techzilla, there's already these other shows. And we thought, yeah, but they all
get it wrong.
They all have such an Apple influence that you don't even know. Like, if you read that TechCrunch headline, you read the whole article, you wouldn't really know that it had an Apple bias. It just seems like a statistical fact that they're able to show with numbers.
Right.
But if you dig into it, no, there was an actual present Apple bias there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is.
TechCrunch has that. Gizmodo obviously does have that. Engadget's better than most.
I think so.
Engadget's the good one, really. And honestly, to a certain extent, Lifehacker does pretty good. And like a couple other sites...
They balance it out.
A couple other sites do pretty well, but man, some of the big ones are just really, really bent, and they just have no idea what's going on in the real world.
I agree. They're in a bubble.
They're in a bubble.
Let's do one more debunking session, should we, before we move on to our predictions?
Okay.
Last debunk here in the news segment is there was also a story that they found a silver bullet in the Android source code copied from Sun's Java.
And I
looked at it because the guy that wrote the blog post, he's kind of a well-known gentleman who has done a lot of open source patent cases, done a lot of analyzing at them. He made source code available. I looked at it. And then people on Reddit were like, running a series of decompiler threads on there. Like, yeah, if you decompile this Java code, it matches almost exactly what's in shipping with Android right now.
Right.
Well, there's a few things to take in consideration.
Ready.
The code that they found is in the test branch that doesn't ship with the Android OS, and was some of the most smoking gun code that he analyzed was already deleted by Google in October. And then on the 14th of this month, they deleted the other code that this guy's talking about. And so this article came out like on the 20th or something like that.
Right.
So
there was issues, but Google was taking steps to fix it.
And it looked like it might have been software for a specific phone vendor to support their specific multimedia chipset.
It could be.
And it's just, but it makes you go, whoa. That was kind of a red flag going, this might actually, there is a potential here to go Oracle's way.
Right.
It could happen.
It could happen. It absolutely, realistically, they're reusing, it's a Java virtual machine, and they've gone through multiple iterations of Java virtual machines on Android, just in the short life Android's been around. Mm-hmm. Basically, they released Android, 2 weeks later, they decided they didn't like Android, they rewrote the entire underpinnings of Android, and they've done that 3 times now?
Or
is this the third or fourth virtual machine we've got?
With 2.2, they had brought in the JIT compiler and things like that. Yeah. And that's when I really got serious about Android. So I don't know if that at that point included a new virtual machine. But
it's really hard to not include a lot of code from a variety of open sources when you're going down that route. It's it seems ridiculous. But it's easy to accidentally get some code in there.
I could see
if
that.
You have a bunch of libraries that even if you make your own piece of software, if you've got a bunch of libraries that you're dependent on, and you don't do a really thorough vetting of each and every tiny little API you use, it's very simple to accidentally bring along something for the ride that you shouldn't have.
Well, there was also an interesting back and forth from the Apache Harmony project, which is kind of, I don't know really what the status of that is. Some were saying, well, that code actually came from the Harmony project. Google didn't put that in. And then the Harmony project said something, stood up and said, well, wait a minute. No, we built that in a clean room. That didn't come from us. Google would have had to. There was like this weird back and forth starting, but now that's kind of died out. I don't know. It's soon as the fingers got pointed, the individual camps started arguing with each other immediately. And that was what was interesting. It's like I was almost hoping for like this unified front. Nope. And it almost became instant infighting. And I was like, oh, no. If Oracle...
It's not really that well organized. There's no one with massive control over all the code base in the tree. So,
So interesting. So that...
But for now, no smoking gun right now.
No smoking gun at the moment. In fact, it's already been cleaned up. So
not so bad.
Good not post so bad. Over at ZDNet that I'll put in the show notes.
I am glad that Google's actually being proactive and taking care of it.
Totally.
Otherwise, I would be very concerned about using Android right now. But honestly, Google seems on top of it, so not so bad.
Agreed, sir. All right, Brian.
Wait a minute. Was I just nice towards Google?
Uh-oh. Write that down.
That's weird.
All right.
That's weird.
That time and date.
Because according to everyone on the internet, I hate Google.
Yeah.
I hate everything about them. I hate their people, and I hate how they smell as a company. Oh, that's not yet.
Yeah, no.
We're not going to talk about that yet.
No, later.
Later?
After the predictions.
Okay, I want to do predictions now.
All right, Brian. Well, that's all the news for this week.
All right, since it is 2011 and it is January, we have to do a prediction show. It is nearly the end of January, but we think that's okay.
Still got 11 months.
We still got 11 months. So really what we're doing is we're saying we are going to predict what's going to happen during the last 11 months of 2011.
Can I just be honest with you? That is harder than you'd think because it's easier, in my opinion, to predict 5 years out.
Way easier to predict 5 years out. Predicting just what's going to happen in 2011, I actually find kind of hard.
Because I find with Linux in general, a lot of times because it's so evolutionary that it takes almost a few years worth of distance before you really see all of the improvements.
Yeah.
So it's hard, but we both scratched our brains and we had a bunch of great comments on the last couple of episodes.
We've distilled it down to some of the things that we think people are going to notice the most. So let's just dive into it. Here's what we think is going to happen or not happen in 2011. You can go first.
All right, I'll lay the first one on you. And this echoes a comment left on one of the last shows. I think there's going to be an ARM desktop. Now, the commenter thinks it's going to be an ARM laptop, but I think it's going to be a mainstream distributor, and I think it'll be like an HP or a Dell or somebody who's in real tight with NVIDIA because Tegra 2 is ARM-based.
I totally agree.
I think it's going to be Ubuntu on there.
I think what we're going to have is we're going to have an ARM-based Ubuntu tablet this year.
Yep.
I think we're going to have an ARM-based Ubuntu laptop this year. And I think we'll have an ARM-based some sort of distro, probably Ubuntu. One of those little net top boxes. Things that currently have an Atom chip in
now,
it.
Now, the reason we're...
I think we'll get
now,
one
we should
with
clarify.
ARM.
So, yeah, I think it's first going to be a tablet that then... In fact, I had a news item that I was going to put in the show, but I didn't have a good screenshot of it, a Linux running tablet. The reason I think it's going to be tablet first, and then I think that's going to lead to a desktop by the end or early next year.
I think it'll be this year.
Here's why we're saying Ubuntu. I think both of you should give the backstory. Is we were at
both of
us.
Oh, you said both of you, and you pointed to me, which is awesome because that means that there's two of me.
Yeah,
yeah.
The good Brian and the bad Brian.
Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we both saw a Ubuntu ARM tablet at what was it called? Ubuntu Fest? What was that?
Ubuntu Live?
Ubuntu Live. We went to 2 years
ago.
They
only had 1 year of it. 3 years ago.
Okay, and there was an ARM-based Ubuntu tablet then.
Yes.
And Mark Shuttleworth was there, and he's like, this is the future direction of Ubuntu.
That's where we're going.
And so we're seeing rumors of tablets coming up running Ubuntu. They're ARM-based. NVIDIA comes along. They have pretty good standing in the Linux community with commercial companies, they're building an ARM chip. I think this is a perfect use for an Ubuntu tablet, which will then go to a desktop. Low power, quiet. They're going to probably be sold as cheaper machines that are sort of like the simple computer for home. Unity on them. It's going to be impressive.
I don't think it's going to change everything. But what I think it is going to be. This will give a really good, very distinctly Linux competitor to what's coming along, like the Galaxy and the iPad and all of the variety of tablets that are coming out. So people who are Linux nerds can look at that and say, that's what I want.
Now, what's going to be interesting, and it's hard to say, is what's going to hit market first, an Ubuntu tablet or a Mego tablet?
Or a Chrome.
Well, you got the Chrome notebooks, sure. I mean, I think you'll see those first out of all of them.
So... this dovetails into my Chrome prediction.
Lay it on me.
Chrome OS devices are going to ship this year.
Yeah.
A couple. We're going to see a couple of them in the market.
Any guesses as their price point?
I think there'll be a few that are at least one that will be super cheap.
Yeah.
I think we will have one where people will be like $299 or possibly even a little bit lower. And everyone will be like, oh my gosh.
That's the one to get.
That's so awesome. And then there will be some that are much more expensive.
Probably carrier contract and stuff like that.
Right. Now, that said, everyone's going to freak out about it. Going to talk about how awesome Google Chrome OS is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge deal. There's going to be lots of coverage of it. Most of the coverage from the big websites is going to be extremely positive. And here's my prediction. It will ship. All of them will ship. I say 3+ will ship by mid-year.
Three different types?
Three different types.
Okay.
I think it will either be completely discontinued by Google by end of year or obviously on its way out.
Really?
I do not think it will make it.
Yeah.
I think it will make a lot of news. It will make a bunch of headlines. CNN and MSNBC and everyone will cover it to the nth degree because it's a big deal.
Do you think maybe
and it will die?
With the recent shakeup with Larry Page going over as CEO now, maybe he's going to kill it?
Maybe.
Yeah, interesting.
It could be. I think it's going to die, though. They have too fragmented of an offering.
A comment, the chat room's right there with you. And in fact, a lot of people in our comments, too, are just nobody's buying Chrome OS.
Yeah.
And I think because Google is made up of a bunch of engineers who also live in the community, you got to figure that sentiment has to be internal, too.
Yeah.
So
they're fragmented. Microsoft has had an issue in the past where they were too fragmented. They realized it, consolidated. Apple has had the same issue in the past. Too fragmented, consolidate. You can't have this many operating systems. I mean, Google really, they've got too many competing operating systems at this point. They need to cut one.
I think they see Chrome OS as an operating system. They just see it as a web browser.
They see it as a web browser environment.
Yeah.
But
that could just as easily run on top of Android.
Honestly, though, it's Chrome OS. Chrome operating system.
True.
I mean, they named it operating system.
That's true.
They didn't call it the Chrome platform.
They could have called it the Chrome webbook or something like
that. Yeah, but no, they said Chrome OS. So
all right.
It's going to be dead by end of year. So
interesting, dude.
So that said, though, the interesting thing here is going forward, if you're looking to have a platform that will have application compatibility going forward with what you pick up,
right,
the ARM-based, really Linux distro-powered ones make a lot more sense to me. I don't think they're going to sell that well. I think they'll sell well enough to stick around.
I hope so.
I don't think they're going to sell well enough where all of a sudden, you know, Apple and Microsoft and everyone else is going to be super worried about
it. Right. You think it's too, they're just too late to market?
They're kind of niche, and they're not making a lot of waves yet. You know, the Google Android tablets are making a lot of press.
Apple's because they're just Google and they're Apple alone.
Right. Google and Apple are doing great in this market. It's going to be very hard to get a lot of press for it. I think that releasing it still makes sense. I think that having an ARM-powered, say, tablet running Ubuntu is awesome.
You know,
and I think it will sell well, and I think it will do great, but it's not going to be like a $15 billion
industry.
I
don't even think you can include this as a prediction anymore because it's almost just everything but confirmed at this point. But what are your thoughts on how well a WebOS tablet would do? You know, I was thinking about this. HP is going to come out with their WebOS tablet.
Yeah.
And it's that is a nice little Linux system.
It is. It is. I thought about this, and I thought about including this in some of my predictions. I have no idea.
I don't either.
I have absolutely no clue.
We don't know anything about the app system. Is it just going to be Linux apps? No.
It's going to be WebOS.
Store.
Yeah. It's going to be WebOS. Yeah. It's WebOS.
Right.
Yeah. And that's great. That's great. Now, all the WebOS apps, there's two ways to go. You can make, you know, the JavaScript apps, which honestly work fine.
Yeah.
Or you can use the native apps to make a native API to make games. I don't know. I'd love to say that WebOS tablets will come out and be
awesome. Are they the ones that made the WebOS SDK in the web browser? That really slick, like, drag-and-drop SDK?
Aries, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a great IDE for developing WebOS apps.
Yeah.
Now, so WebOS could do great.
I don't know.
It could fall flat on its face. I have absolutely no idea.
I just don't. It's interesting. You got Ubuntu on tablets. We'll see. You've got Migo coming out for sure, but we'll see. And then you've got, I mean, it's just so many different Linux options right now.
You know what it is giving me pause?
Huh.
HP already has a lot of touchscreen devices out there in the market. Like, they've got those big HP desktops that are just, they're really cool looking, you know? I mean, they are cool. They got this multi-touch thing going on.
I wonder if does that multi-touch work under Ubuntu on those things?
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
But I just don't hear a lot of press about them. You know, they release them and they roll them out and everyone's like, okay, fine. It's
because
a touchscreen.
It is the curse of any product on the market now. I mean,
but no one talks about it. So
it's because the world is reversed. You know, when something shipped with Windows, that was news. Remember when all of these netbooks switched to Windows? Everybody was like, whoa, netbooks going to Windows. That's great. Well, everybody except for us, right?
Right.
The royal us.
The royal us.
But now when something ships with Windows, people are like, oh, snore.
The royal us would mean you, just you.
Oh, I thought it meant I was trying to include the listeners.
If I'm the king and I'm the, you know, we think this is a great idea. That means I.
Oh,
that's the royal.
I was trying to include that the audience also knew that it was a horrible idea that netbooks were switching with Windows.
Oh,
I didn't want to make it sound like
so the non-royal us.
Right, the opposite of what I meant.
This entire conversation was 100% unnecessary, is what you're trying to say.
No. Just wrong. Just inaccurate. All right.
Throw another prediction on me.
I think Unity is going to ship in Ubuntu 11.04.
Yep.
It's going to be all right.
It's not going to be default.
I think. Oh, really?
I don't think it's going to be default.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really close to be ready, and I think it'll be cool, and I think it'll be worthwhile.
You think it'll be default in 11.10?
I think it'll be default in
11.10. And I think it's going to actually be really popular in 11.10, and I think Ubuntu 11.10 will be a flagpole in the ground where desktop projects like Rhythmbox and Banshee and FSpot are going to have to decide at what level they want to integrate with Unity. And then you're going to start to see them talking about that and working on that. Hopefully you'll see them before that point, and maybe they could even be included in the 11.10 release. That would be epic to have a few flagship products with full Unity integration.
Very cool.
But I think
I could be wrong. Canonical could pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
And push it out in 11.04 with Unity. That'd be great by default. But I don't know. Looking at the builds so far.
Yeah.
It's really quality. They've done great work.
Yeah.
But there is still work left to do. I don't know that they're going to hit it in time. It's already near the end of January.
Well, you know,
February, March. Then they've got to really be fully buttoned down. They've got 2 months to make it really release worthy.
And but check this out.
They could be close. They could be really close.
OMG Ubuntu has this interview, like I mentioned earlier in the show, with a Unity developer. And he just has a line in here that kind of, when I was going, I was trying to, you know, absorb different information for this predictions episode to kind of base it on where I see trends with the developers already. And this quote I really liked, and it says, and this is him in answering a lot of series of questions, but he says, can a team that consists of the creator of AWN, the creator of Docky, the creator of CairoDoc, and a core contributor to
Zeitgeist.
A maintainer of Compiz and a game developer from Ubisoft and many other open source contributors. Can that team really let you down?
That's a good point. It's a great team.
That does sound like the exact team you want building your next generation desktop interface. You got the Docky guy, you got the CairoDoc guy, you got AWN guy, you got maintainer of Compiz in there.
That is some solid skills. That's a good resume. I mean, people who have made some great tools, but especially great looking tools. I mean, they've got the right people working on this. So I think it's going to be great. I actually have really high hopes for Unity over the course of a year. And I think you're right. By 11.10, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are going to point to it and go, hot diggity damn, that was a good idea.
We'll see, huh?
I think that's what's going to happen.
All right, lay another one on me, B-man.
All right, I'm going to go with a related thing. All right, so if we're talking about Unity.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Wayland.
Okay.
So there's already been a lot of talk about moving over to Wayland, instead of X11, because X11's old and busted. Wayland's the new hotness, right?
That's what I've been told.
So we already know that, you know, it's obviously not going to be by default in 11.04 of Ubuntu.
None of the other
distros are going to make it by default in the next couple of months.
So none of the next, you think you're claiming none of the next shipping distros?
So none of the next shipping distros. I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of the big distros are going to ship it at all this year. There's a potential of offering, say, maybe during some of the beta cycles.
Now why is that?
Some of the ability for people to install Wayland and use Wayland for development purposes.
That would be cool.
But I do not believe that any distro is going to be shipping Wayland by default.
Do you think it's just not there?
Any big one. It's just not there yet.
Okay.
It needs more time. It needs more. I mean, you can't strip out X11 completely and replace it with something without really hardcore testing it. This isn't like swapping a web browser. This isn't like Unity where it's just a front end on things. I mean, we're really talking major, major change here. Not really going to happen this year. And nobody will notice that it doesn't happen because no one will care because we will have tons of cool new features shipping anyway.
Yeah, that's true. And as more time goes, the drivers just get better and X11 will get better.
Yeah, this time next year when we're doing the 2012 predictions, other than the fact that we will talk about the world ending, Wayland will probably be coming in, which Wayland may or may not be the cause of the world ending if it does ship in mass in 2012.
Now, your prediction says, though, that maybe by this time when we're doing the 2012 predictions, we would be able to run Wayland as an option.
Yes.
Potentially.
I'm thinking next year.
Okay. All right, another one on me.
All right, I got more. All right, so Mego. Mego's going to ship.
This is what I want to talk
about. We're going to have Mego devices shipping at least one. Now, I'm only saying I can predict that
ship. It's a Nokia device?
I'm going to say a Nokia device will ship with Mego, and it will ship as a phone, tablet-y type device this year, first half of this year.
Whoa, really?
And it will be cool. We will review it.
The first half of
this year? I'm going to say it's for the first half of this year. I'm not first quarter. I'm talking like sometime by like summer.
Okay, say June-ish.
And it will be awesome. We will give it 12 stars
out
of 5.
Do you buy this phone?
I potentially buy it.
I think I potentially do too.
Sales are going to be awful, and Mego will go away after another, say, 2 years.
Whoa! No.
That's my prediction.
No way, man. No way, because Mego has got Intel behind it and Nokia.
So what? So did Moblin. Had Intel behind it.
It didn't.
Moblin was Intel.
Okay, all right.
Mamo had Nokia.
Yeah.
So what happened to those? Well, they got merged because they couldn't quite get any traction on the ground. They can't get traction on the ground. I don't know.
They got a good-looking UI. They got some
good-looking
UI.
They've got no shipping hardware. They're late to the party. Even when they do have shipping hardware, what are they going up against? They're going up against Chrome OS, which, again, might just falter. But it's still competition.
It's from Google, and it's already been
They're
seen
going
in
up
the
against the iPad. They're going up against Galaxy tablets. They're going against all the billions of other
Android Zoom.
Tablets, and they look really good.
Yeah,
they're going up against all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
I just don't see it. I don't see it becoming a big player in the industry. I don't see it even really taking away from Nokia's Symbian market base. I mean, I just don't see it doing a big thing. I see it being as successful as the N900.
What if it just becomes their new feature phone OS eventually?
That would be great.
Hmm.
But it would require a huge investment from Nokia or Intel to really commit to it as a platform to make it successful.
I want
to
talk about Android.
I don't think they're going to do it. But I think it's going to be awesome just the same, and I think I will buy one.
We should talk about Android just for a sec, because Android's in this place coming up in the next year where we're going to go dual core processors. We're going to go crazy 3D graphics. You saw that Motorola Atrix where you can dock it into a netbook. I mean, yep. I don't know where Android's going this year, but I think one thing is for sure is Google has got to work on some of their UI and the performance of these individual devices. What I have seen so far, and it's probably unofficial, of Android 3.0's Honeycomb UI,
yeah,
it looks like one of the UI designers got super stoned, went and watched the new Tron movie, and then jot really down
does.
His thoughts.
It really does.
It looks like a parody of a Tron interface.
One or two parts look really cool.
It does, but they're not practical.
They're not practical at all.
There's no practical use for that. You could accomplish a lot of what they do without all of that extra fluff. Just make it cleaner, tighter, faster. And we don't know yet at the point of this recording if 3.0 will only run on tablets or if it'll also be available for phones or if that's going to be a separate line of the Android tree for a while. And that's bad.
I'll tell you what. Here's my prediction of what's going to happen with Android this year. Despite the fact that Google has been talking about slowing down the Android releases, by the end of the year, we will have Android 3.4. And each iteration, 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, and 3.4, will be major breakage points. So I think 3.0 might come out. It sounds kind of like 3.0 might be tablet. Maybe 3.1 is the merging of the two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
3.2 is a completely new updated UI based on user feedback.
For all devices?
3.3 will be a major change to the virtual machine again. 3.4 will be a major change to something. Based on the Google's track record so far, maybe they slow down a little because at this point the entire project's code base is getting a little clunky.
Well, and the other issue is they have a lot of really, really big-time players now that are dependent on them for their
big
dollar.
Time.
And so they're going to be pushing on Google to not screw their bottom line up.
Right.
So there might be resistance there. You know, there's some sort of back and forth rumor too that Motorola currently has exclusive rights to Android 3.0, and so that the other developers that are making tablets aren't actually able to get the operating system yet.
Really?
And that only Motorola has been able to work with it. Now that's just a rumor that came out of CES, and and where that came from is because when people were asked, you can read it. There's a few different articles that came out of CES where people went around looking at different Android tablets. I tried to read all the different stuff I could because I'm kind of in the market. Eventually, I will be.
Yeah, for sure.
And
eventually, Chris will be in the market to buy a thing.
I got my Galaxy Tab now.
Are you kidding me?
I want to
eventually
that.
You will buy a gadget.
And I'm curious. Do I want?
No, dude. Hold on a second.
Eventually, dude. It's going to happen.
You're going to buy a gadget?
You heard it here first.
Is it going to run an operating system?
Well, I'm hoping Android.
A gadget with an operating system?
I know it.
That you buy?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa. Will it replace another system that you purchased not that long prior to that?
Well, I don't know if replaced. It'll
come in.
It'll
come in addition?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Just to be clear, we're talking about the right thing here. All right.
So, you know, some of the different vendors were
man,
like,
I am just blown away by that.
So the
Chris, buying a toy. Crazy. Like a phone, maybe.
Maybe, Brian.
A tablet, maybe.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm just nervous about the future of Android, but I think you might be onto something with what you said. I don't know if it's going to be as rapid as you
They're
going to
keep
out,
going.
But,
yeah. I bet you they'll be at 3.4. If they're not at shipping 3.4, I bet they'll be working on 3.4 by year's end. I'm positive 3.3
Makes
will
sense.
Be on devices by year's end. Because, I mean, look at how fast they went from 1.5 to 2.2.
True.
Fast.
Very fast.
I mean, when did Android come out? 3 weeks ago? Something like that. It feels like 3 weeks ago.
You know, the carriers like to make you buy new handsets.
They
so
love it.
You don't always mind it when new S's come out, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Any other predictions?
I got one thing I want to quote from
all right. From the comments.
Well, we got one of the comments in our year end show here, and a nice gentleman, obviously very smart, has the following prediction, and I quote: "I predict the following year, Brian Lunduk will have to change his Linux Fest Northwest presentation from Linux sucks to Linux no longer sucks, thanks to Illumination Software Creator."
Oh, ba-dum-bum.
I liked that. That was a very excellent prediction.
Oh, funny how that works.
I couldn't agree more, young man.
Should
well
we,
done.
Do you want to cap it there or do you want to throw any more in?
I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay.
That's all I want
to
say.
We'll jump back into we'll go over to the feedback.
That's it. Go to the feedback, go into the forum. If you want to talk about any of these, we'll be discussing more in the forum if you guys want to, because I mean, there's a lot of little things to talk about.
Totally.
I mean, there's Qt apps coming to main Ubuntu. What's OpenSUSE doing? They got some stuff going.
Where's
on.
Where's KDE going?
Where's KDE going? What is Fedora doing? Probably nothing, but we can still talk about it. So, I mean, there's lots of ways we can go there, but, I think these are the big points that are going to get the news items this year.
All right, Brian, well, let's jump over into your feedback. Not yours. Theirs.
Right. The royal your.
Ryan, last week we had a lot of things to say.
Yeah, we did.
And in response to those things, the folks out there had a lot to say back to us.
Good Lord, did they ever.
And, you know, there's three or four different angles we could talk about. Why don't we just cover a couple of different things?
All right.
Let me boil down what some of the feedback
so
was.
So we had two topics last week that people found fairly controversial.
Mm-hmm. The Firefox one.
The Firefox one and the Google one. Now, we know, if you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, go listen to that first and then come back. Pause it right here. Go listen to the episode...
two of season
episode,
15.
Episode two. Listen to the whole thing and then come back here. All right. Now that you're back.
Welcome
so
back.
So the Google topic that we had, I expected people to have some opinions on that.
Definitely. You know, we were mainly talking about Google's dropping of H.264.
And we
kind of
had like a little conspiracy theory going, a thing going on there. And I expected some harsh feedback on that one.
What I didn't really expect...
was I got a lot of really intense feedback from people on both sides for the Firefox topic.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Firefox having issues with 3D acceleration on Linux.
And also a lot of people were defending stability, saying that they didn't have stability issues.
Right. Because we've made fun of Firefox and crashing a lot, a fair bit. But I want to just kind of tackle a little bit of the 3D thing.
Okay.
All right. So... our general stance was that that's ridiculous. I mean, they came out and they said, some of the Firefox devs were like, oh man, 3D on Linux is the sucks and it's
crashy
terrible.
Crashes.
Crashy crash. You can't, Xorg crashes just because you use 3D.
It looked at 3D.
And that was kind of the general thing coming out. And they basically said that the only way to have 3D available, and make it work and not crash everything was just to only use the NVIDIA proprietary
implying
drivers.
Implying that the Intel and ATI drivers were too unstable when writing to them.
Right, exactly. So, and of course, this is ridiculous because, you know, how many of us are using Compiz on Intel?
Well, see, I think the main feedback was, it's just because Compiz works doesn't mean that...
something else will work.
Because they might be doing something differently.
So,
something.
A few bits of feedback that I want to throw out there. One was...
And that's a fair argument.
People generally feeling that we are not qualified to comment on this topic.
Oh, I know. I love that one.
Okay.
What qualifies you?
People are like, well, what have you done that's used OpenGL on any of these platforms? Well, I've actually done a fair bit of development of OpenGL and Direct3D on all three platforms. I make software for all three platforms. I've done device driver development for Linux. I know what's going on.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not really much more I can say with that. I know what's going on.
And you just use a little common sense. You know, some of us, like myself, I've been a Linux user, at least on the server side, for 12 years now. And there's just, after 12 years of using the same operating system, you know when something can be done and when something can't be done. And
right.
A lot of us out there know this story when a developer says, it's too hard, it can't be done. Here's a great example. Braid. Braid, two years ago, we covered it on this show. The Braid developer came out and said 3D graphics and audio, and it was specifically audio, are too much of a mess on Linux.
It can't be done.
Braid cannot be shipped on Linux. I give up. Well, guess what?
He shipped it on Linux.
It's part of the
humble indie bundle.
Yeah, indie bundle number two on Linux.
No problem. And it runs smooth as silk, runs fantastic.
Now, were there improvements made, possibly, to Linux to make that happen?
Oh, for sure. There's been lots of improvements to Linux over the years.
Let's just talk frankly. The way you address this is either A, you work with the projects because you yourself are a very large open source project, and then you make that happen. But generally, blog posts and press releases or whatever that just say, OpenGL is the sucks... is not the way you interact with the community, and then it just feels like you're trolling.
It does feel like you're trolling. Now, I get it. There is a very real possibility because they encountered bugs in the device drivers for many of these graphics chipsets. That stuff happens.
We know as longtime Linux users that I think I said in the Jupiter Colony, this topic is not of particular interest to me because Linux drivers have almost always been bad from the video manufacturers, and OpenGL has always been behind Direct3D.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time now.
Right.
And when you combine those things up, it's like, okay, this is a non-interesting topic to me. This is just something that needs work.
It just needs work. Now, here's the thing. If they're doing something that's crashing Xorg, they're doing something wrong. They really, really are. Now, a lot of people generally seem to agree with that sentiment. A lot of other people don't seem to agree. there's a lot of going back and forth, but this really got people heated up. People felt really passionate about defending Firefox and about that, the Firefox devs. I'm not meaning anything mean towards the Firefox devs. I really am not. Yeah.
You're running Firefox there along
Firefox
with Chrome.
And Chrome are running side by side right here.
And I've been talking for a while, if you listen, yeah. I've been talking a while about Firefox 4. And I really think the new Firefox 4 Sync is awesome. It syncs your open tabs. And there's Firefox Sync there. There's Firefox Home for iOS and Android now. And you can sync your bookmarks and your tabs.
Yeah.
You can literally resume your web browsing on your Android device.
That's awesome. But anyway, so that's, I just wanted to throw that out there on the Firefox thing. I bet you anything, if they really are committed to having the 3D acceleration work in Firefox, and this is something they actually want, and this wasn't just a cop-out to make it so they don't
they'll
have to do
the
it.
Other projects, right?
Honestly, maybe 6 months down the line, they'll be like, all right, and there'll just be this quiet release, and all of a sudden, it'll work.
Firefox 4.3. Now
it'll suddenly work.
Yeah hopefully.
It will. That's just how it goes. Yeah. It's super easy, no big deal.
It's not really worth getting all worked up about.
So, moving on. The Google stuff. I don't want to rehash
this. This went all over the place. Yeah.
It was all over the place. I mean, people were commenting and talking about the specifics of the formats. That was a big deal. People really wanted to get into the nuts and bolts of, you know, what from a technology standpoint really is better, WebM or H.264 or X.264 and everything else. And people really got worked up about it in every possible direction.
Including just hating on Google. Just, you know, believe in Google. This is when we got a lot. You know, just have trust Google. They're doing this for standards or all this different stuff.
I'm amazed at how much people inherently trust Google.
That's what my impression was.
I was amazed by that. Now, it's not most of you guys, honestly.
I get it, though.
It's a strong contingent of people out there that just really
trust
Google.
Google has a track record of when they've done something wrong, like the Wi-Fi collecting. They come out after a while and they say, yeah, we did that. We're sorry. And I want to believe that Google's intentions with WebM are completely what they say, because I want to believe that Google is stacked top to bottom with just engineers. And a lot of those engineers love open source. A lot of those engineers believe in open standards. And that's why they're doing this. I want to believe that's the truth. And even if it is, then that just means it's likely a misguided truth. Because the reality is, and I honestly just think this is an impossible argument to counter, there's an entire history now on the web of H.264. And there's going to continue to be H.264 deployments, because it just simply comes down to this one simple fact. To use Flash today, and to use Flash in future versions of Chrome that don't support H.264, you do absolutely nothing different. As a publisher, we have to do we don't change any formats. We don't change how we release. We don't even change how it gets embedded on the website. And we just keep using Flash. And that's why I think, even if their intention is to promote WebM, the end result will be a lock into Flash. And that's why I think it's a bit of a loss.
I generally agree. People are all over the place. A lot of people were thinking, well, you know, Google's going to be developing or working on WebM plugins for all the platforms for as many browsers as they can. So, and you know what? We failed to cover some of that when we talked about it. So Google is doing some things to step towards it. It's not enough.
Because if you're
going to
use a plugin,
more than we gave them credit
for. You just use Flash already. If a website is going to make users install plugins, you just make them use Flash, which they likely already have.
I think though a lot of people made some really good points, and after thinking about it,
true, they did.
About how, you know, people pointing out that Google really is doing more to promote WebM than simply dropping H.264 directly in Chrome.
We should touch
on because simply by developing plugins for the other browsers,
and they are adding support to Android. Right. We need to get hardware acceleration.
So they are pushing it. However, I don't think our stance changes any, because we're looking at it from a pure practicality standpoint. What is the net effect of their actions? And the net effect of their actions is still a lock into Flash.
Exactly.
It's not really going to promote WebM that much. It might a little, not enough to where the larger publishers are going to be able to use WebM as a de facto standard.
Maybe because it's Google.
So,
and like, you know, I said earlier in the show, when something has Google's name or Apple on it, it gets some momentum. So there's a possibility, because it has Google's name on it, WebM could reach momentum. And
it could.
I tell you guys, if WebM takes off, we will absolutely switch over.
Oh, sure.
We're waiting for the day.
I'd love to.
But I'd also like to see WebM playback in my Boxy Box, in my Roku, if I had one, in my TiVo, in my
Where everything supports H.264 right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to throw that out there. You know, we did kind of fail to cover some of that stuff, I wish we would have, but, I'm glad we brought it up now. Again, if you want to talk about that, go over to jupitercolony.com, head into the forums. There's already a good thread going on. Feel free to pile on. Totally. If you got hate, you got love, I don't care.
Hey, loved it all. And don't worry, if you get a little heated, you're not hurting our feelings. It's a good discussion.
Yeah, so it's a good discussion to have. I don't think my stance changed at all.
Same.
But, I do think that Google
better.
Is...
I feel less jaded about it.
I do. I feel less jaded.
I feel a little better because if there's a possibility that WebM, say, can maybe get the market adoption rate of WMV, even that level of adoption would lock in support on devices and guarantee it's going to be a playback across a lot of things.
And then we can start supporting
it. Yeah. And then maybe the floodgates open. So, and that's what I'm hopeful for. Yeah. So maybe it'll happen.
Would be phenomenal. Would be phenomenal. That's really all I wanted to say. I wanted to toss all that out there. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff on the topic. Honestly, the Google topic went everywhere, all over the place.
Totally.
There's stuff on Twitter, stuff on Facebook. There's stuff in the forum. Go read it if you're interested. We'll be around there as well.
Yep.
That's all I got to say on that.
All right, everyone. Well, the Linux Action Show comes out every freaking Sunday. That's impressive. I mean,
wow.
Really. Yeah. Although, we might take some time off coming up when the kid comes.
So I got a baby coming.
Yep.
Anytime now.
Yeah.
Anytime I got a little girl coming.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm actually going home after the show. I'm going to go home and I'm going to finish putting together furniture.
Aw. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I'm actually excited.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Did an IKEA run.
Yeah.
Got a nice little dresser.
Yeah.
As a good spot to take the poop off of the baby's butt.
Oh, that's handy.
You know, you got to have one of those spots.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So we got one of those. Little dresser changing table combo.
We just had to upgrade our poopy changing spot, Brian.
Oh, yeah?
That's the Linux Action Show for you.
You have an upgraded one?
Yeah, well, Dylan's getting bigger, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's getting too big for the spot, then.
Man.
Yeah. It's almost potty time.
Well, you know, how old is Dylan now?
He's 21 months.
21 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you're almost to the point of not talking about it in months anymore. Because once you hit like two, yes. you just say two. He's two.
I've been campaigning for that for 11 months already.
Honestly, I'll just call him one.
Yeah.
Let's just call him one.
Or almost two. He's almost two.
He's almost two. That's perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's great is when they turn two, you know what you gotta do?
Hmm.
You go down, they have these things. They have these things at the hardware store. They're great. They're called hose spray nozzles.
Yeah.
You just screw those suckers on, crank it up.
Sure.
Tell the kid, drop trowel, and you just blast him from behind.
Yeah, he's old enough now.
Well, that's the wrong way to word that. I just worded that in a very wrong way. What I'm saying is you use the hose to spray the kid off.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's old enough. Hose him down.
You just hose him down.
We should mention, we do the Linux Action Show live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can join us there.
Pacific time. If we ever say a time, it's always in Pacific. Yeah. Because we are xenophobic here, but not just for people outside of America, for people outside of our time zone, because we don't understand, like...
We never leave the state.
Where's the line where it adds an hour? It's east of here. If you go east, eventually an hour just jumps. I don't know where that
Why
is.
Why can't we all just be on UTC?
Do you have to drive to Idaho? Montana? Do you have to drive all the way to Maryland? Where is Maryland? I don't know. So this is what I'm saying. So everything is
PM
in Pacific
GMT.
Time.
Thank you to Mike. See, and if you join us live, you can join that chat room and help be our better half. Now, I do want to say, too, you can tune into Jupiter at night Tuesday through Thursday. This last week, we did epic rains for like all the... Unfortunately, there's been a lot of flooding in Australia.
Lots,
We covered that. And then epic snow for some amazing snowstorms. And then we did an epic wind episode. Yeah.
It was a nature week.
It was... Well, the epic wind wasn't actually about wind.
Oh.
Yeah. It's, you know, just play on the name.
Oh, I got gotcha.
You. See how I did that?
Yeah, yeah. No, I got gotcha.
You. It's actually about blowhards, not farts. You went farts. You were going farts in your brain.
Nope.
Yeah, I saw farts. I saw the wheel of farts turning.
Nope.
Brian, I know when you get a fart looking.
No,
in your
I
eyes.
Was thinking of appliances, you know, like a fan or like a heater, maybe an air conditioning unit.
No, we went the famous blowhard route. It was kind of a fun show. Check it out.
Famous blowhard.
Go over to jupiterbroadcasting.com and check out Jupiter at Night. It's
good times.
Good one.
Good times.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Linux Action Show. And we'll be right back here next week. Yeah.
I look good like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, fancy shirt,
you like
dude.
It? I actually just
is this
had
new?
No. I just had nothing to wear. So
it's very metro.
Yeah,
look at that. Looking all fancy. Man.
I'm sexy.
Man, you could go and hit the town with that. Get some tail.
Yeah.
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 All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.